It's Peter Stevens. Hey, Peter, can you hear me?
Yes.
How fantastic to have you with us. Thank you for putting some time aside to share some of your experience over the past week, but probably many years, of what's been going on at Walleye Creek. I believe you are a member of the Walleye Creek Preservation Society.
Yep.
For those who are wondering, which little bit of bushland around Walleye Creek, because there is quite a lot in that area, was attacked by, well, I suppose I could say that, was attacked by bulldozers last week, operating according to the instructions of the Baird government and the WestConnex infrastructure build. I believe there were bulldozers there to make a temporary car park for some of the machinery for WestConnex. But what about the bushland?
Well, the bushland in Walleye Creek is mainly between Bexley North and Tempe, but there was a very important patch between Beverly Hills and Kingsgrove, right next to Canterbury Golf Course. And that's the bit that's been completely wiped out. It's now all gone. There's a small residual of lower grade bushland that's been left, but it's too small to be viable.
Now, Mr. Speakman said that the site next to the M5 isn't a stellar example of the forest, the ironbark forest of the region, of which it was one of the last remnants, because it's fairly small and has got a lot of edges, he said, so we'll probably end up with a better biodiversity outcome finding an offset somewhere else.
You sometimes wonder what their advisors are doing, putting the minister into a position of telling such howling nonsense.
It is howling nonsense. Tell us why.
Well, there's only about 1,000 hectares of this stuff left in total. 83% of it is smaller than 10 hectares. This is a very particular patch. It's the only one in the Walleye Valley, and it's also the most easterly occurrence of this particular environmental community. And it's been declared by the scientific committee and incorporated, therefore, into the laws that it is critically endangered ecological community. So to say that it's been kept in good condition, amazingly, by RMS since the first M5 was built, when it was specifically protected and had to be protected and go on. So what we're now seeing is a protection that was imposed back in 1998 now just being ripped up, and now the bushland has been destroyed. So, dear Minister, we can no longer trust anything you or your other ministers say, because there is no protection anymore.
It doesn't seem that way. You know, we've had in the east, we've had all the 150-year-old heritage trees ripped down, and people thought that, you know, there have been over the years many attempts to cut those trees down, and every time you come back and you think you've won the battle, but in the end, the Baird government simply ignored the wishes of the residents. And it's not just happening in the eastern suburbs, it's not just happening in Walleye Creek, it's actually happening all across the Sydney metropolitan region and New South Wales.
Well, the destruction of the built environment in Haberfield is a fine example of, you know, just not caring much about the preservation orders that are officially backed by governments. They're just, as soon as serious amounts of money are involved, as in WestConnex, then they just rip up the protections.
Well, let's talk about what is actually at stake here, because I suppose, of course, there is a community of humans who've been very involved in tending Walleye Creek and looking after it and making sure that those creatures of the and the fauna as well, the flora as well as the fauna, are have been looked after and preserved for decades. It's not just nostalgia for pretty plants and cute animals, though, is it? It's all about the health of our ecosystems as a whole, which humans rely on.
Well, the Walleye Valley's main bushland, and if you add this bit in as well, that would have been even more, are the biggest piece of intact bushland for kilometres around, from the coast to Prospect, and from the Georges River to the Parramatta River. It's the biggest piece of intact bushland. It's a rare piece of bushland. So what we've lost has been a really important part of a corridor that ran up the Walleye Valley, which still retained some sort of natural vegetation. Now, we're facing a similar sort of situation, I've got to say, further down at Bexley North. there are 2 hectares of beautiful bushland, really phenomenally good bushland, that the Minister for Roads has come out and said will not be affected by WestConnex, but is nonetheless, despite saying all that, resolutely refusing to hand it over for the Walleye Creek Regional Park, for which it has long been promised. So we don't any longer believe that the government can be trusted. So when it says these things, it's not going to be affected, we think, well, we'll wait and we'll see until it's handed over. Then we might believe that it's got some measure of protection. But at the moment, I wouldn't think any of our bushland is safe anywhere. What we're seeing throughout Sydney is green space being lost. Instead of it being increased in proportion with the population, which reminds me, the Morning Herald today, city population has soared by 2.1 million, Minister warns of growing pains and smaller homes, and that's apparently a symptom of Sydney's success. God help us if we failed. Anyway,
we don't
have enough green space, so we definitely should be trying to collect more. A few more golf courses perhaps could be turned into proper green spaces, but we certainly shouldn't be knocking them down and building concrete over the top of them.
Well, no, it's not sustainable, and there's plenty of research to show that human beings do not prosper when they are divorced entirely from natural surroundings. I mean, grass, little patches of grass don't do it. You've got to have breeze, you've got to have trees, you've got to have pure air, you've got to have all those critters working so hard.
Well, you need some size. You need some size. I don't think it's difficult to find an area where you can sort of wander around for a while without bumping into houses. You can walk for 4.5 kilometres down the Walleye Creek Valley and soon without crossing a road. And that's phenomenal in the inner city. So, yes, these things are really important. And if you want to go and find big pieces of bushland, you've virtually got to go to Coringa Chase, Royal National Park, Blue Mountains. A few places in the west of Sydney have retained some vegetation, but really it's vanishingly small stuff. And I keep arguing that urban bushland is now itself an endangered ecological community. It's just not enough of it to enable human beings to sustain themselves, let alone the plants and animals.
And if you are listening to this and worried and you'd like to know a bit more, there are several campaigns going around. There is the SOS Green Spaces campaign, which the Total Environment Centre is launching in the next few months, which is all about trying to protect our green spaces across Sydney. There is Stand Up for Nature, which is looking at the biodiversity review, which the Baird government brought in to weaken the laws which have stopped land clearing across New South Wales for the past decade and protected many ecological communities from destruction. You could also get in contact with the Walleye Creek Preservation Society and find out what they were doing. Now, you actually had members chaining themselves to trees last week, and people were very distressed because, of course, what happens when bulldozers come in like this and it is to make a temporary car park. And some of it was happening on Threatened Species Day, which was incredibly
insensitive, shall we say?
Insensitive beyond a joke. One of the things that people were witnessing, because it's nesting season in the city at the moment, it's spring, all the nests were full of little birds. So that's very sad to see. But all these creatures just get mulched up by the bulldozer. Nobody is removing them. And, in fact, you can't simply rescue them.
Well, it was very noticeable. It was very noticeable that there was no evidence in the EIS, which refused, by the way, to acknowledge that it was previously protected land already. No evidence of a salvage plan to retain plant material in form of seeds and cuttings to be able to propagate, at least save some of the individual species, to say nothing of the topsoil. And of course, the topsoil is absolutely crucial to an ecosystem because it contains microorganisms as well as seed material and all sorts of things that are really an essential part of an ecosystem. So all of that now just rubbish. And devastating, really upsetting, and a lot of people were in tears. Yes, we had one member, in fact, not of the Walleye Creek Preservation Society, but of No WestConnex, who chained themselves to a tree. We had a lot of other people who went on site and had to be hauled, carried out limply during the process. But it was interesting because it's a very obscure little patch, not immediately obvious from a roadway or anything apart from the M5 itself, that There were at times more police and riot police and private security guards on site than there were demonstrators. So goodness knows what they thought was going to happen. They obviously know this is a very sore point with people.
Oh, I think it's becoming an increasingly sore point. And obviously community is starting to kind of stand up and say we're not happy with this happening. Let's go into one of the things that the government uses as an argument, and it's a key pillar of their biodiversity review that's going to change the tree clearing laws across New South Wales. But it's also the excuse given for okay, we can make this temporary car park here and get rid of all this. I mean, endangered flora and fauna means there's not much of it left, and we should be looking after it because it's critically rare, yeah, and it's necessary to our Australian climate and our ecosystems. But, okay, the idea is there's a thing called biobanking, which different developers can become involved. I can hear this is getting your wind up already. Yes, that did sound like a growl. And there's a thing called an offset mechanism whereby you can say, okay, I admit I'm going to destroy this, but I'm going to put a price on that, or I'm going to put a measurement on that of its value, and I will reproduce that value somewhere else by planting some trees or throwing some dirt in the air and watering it.
Well, no, the biobanking system's a little bit better than that.
That's good
only
to
a little
hear.
Bit, mind you. But when it originally began, it was definitely
a good
you
idea.
Have to obtain like for like the same ecosystem somewhere else and purchase it and protect it before you start to consider destroying it. That's been successively watered down. Now you simply have to establish that there are parts and that it's feasible, it's achievable that you can obtain them. But of course, what we're dealing with here is a critically endangered ecological community, and you would reckon, wouldn't you, that any other patch of it ought also to be being protected. So how can you talk about an offset? You're just saying, oh, we'll destroy this bit because there's some other bits. But they're also critically endangered. It's just, it's become just another, and I think you're right, that I think where the legislation is heading is ultimately to enable developers and the government itself, of course, to just pay money and do whatever they want to do, and no consideration of the unique values that are involved in various protected environments. Just ignore it.
What is next for the Walleye Creek Preservation Society? You've had a really rough week last week, and emotions were running high, and people observed a lot of creatures and plants being trampled to death. What have you got up your sleeves?
Well, it would be nice to have similar sorts of arguments that the government's got, but they've got big machines and they've got lots of money and we don't. So, donate to the Walleye Creek Preservation Society and help us keep going. Find out more through our website. That's walleyecreek.org.au. And really our next campaign, because there's no point campaigning further much on this particular one, our next campaigns will be contributing to the fight to save green space generally and to fight the biodiversity and biobanking laws. But we're really now determined to wrest off RMS the 2 hectares of bushland that they still own in the Walleye Valley further down. We want that given up. It's damn good bushland and it should be part of the Walleye Creek Regional Park.
Well, thank you so much for being eco-warriors over there around Bexley North and Tempe and Walleye Creek Valley. It's so important that the residents and locals stand up and say, no, we're not happy with this. We're actually extremely unhappy. So thank you so much, Peter Stevens from the Walleye Creek Preservation Society, joining me this afternoon. I'm sorry it wasn't a happier occasion, but good luck with the next fights. And
We'll be in touch when it's happier.
Oh, yeah. Let's have another report from you guys coming up soon. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Bye, Ruth.